Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
All through the 90s, and this is interesting for the listeners, all through the 90s when I had that house in Moree Street, it went from 55 to maybe 60 to maybe 65, maybe even up to 67, 70 grand. But by the year 2000, it was still worth about $70,000. And I remember just going, this real estate sucks. Seriously, it's not going up. It hasn't gone anywhere. And by 2003, when the rush came, so to speak, and it went from about 70 to 250, and I was going, geez, real estate's really good, isn't it? I'm a genius, yeah.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Taran Shum, and in this episode on Property Investory, we're talking to Andrew Koronis, whose fundamentals for purchasing investment properties, along his background in the family business and real estate, have provided him with the skills to succeed as a property investor. In any given day, Koronis manages and runs his family real estate business, the Koronis Group.
So I'm the managing director of the Koronis Group, which is a Southeast Queensland-based property group. My role here is to uphold the cultural values of the business, is to make sure that there's accountability when it comes to production, and to vision where we're going this year, next year, and for the next 4 or 5 years on a plan, and make sure that my vision is being driven by the leaders of the business.
Koronis says he was more interested being on the sporting field rather than studying in the classroom that led him into real estate.
A little bit about myself is that I finished school when I was 18, and I enjoyed the sporting field much more than I enjoyed the academic classroom. And I joined my father's very small little real estate office at Stafford in the north side of Brisbane, of which I became a salesperson. It was a very modest real estate agency at that point, just specialising in a couple of sales a month. And we managed, I think, 40 properties. I have to get my numbers right. Fast forward to now, we've got 23 locations. I grew from 18 as a salesperson in the business until about 2000, where I took the business over, and my father was, I think, smart enough and willing enough and to give me the keys to the office that we'd grown to one office at Stafford, which was reasonably good and powerful agency, managing in 2002 it was. Managing about 340 properties and a sales team of six, doing about 30 sales a month. Fast forward from 2002 to 2017. Now we have 23 locations over the southeast. We manage 8,000 odd properties, and we transact well over 200 properties a month.
Koronis shares his childhood stories and memorable moments, and I find out where he grew up.
A modest house, north side of Brisbane, in a place called Stafford Heights. Two elder siblings and myself, both sisters. And funnily enough, all three of us have gone into businesses of our own, so to speak. One runs a successful landscaping business. One has a manufacturing business in Melbourne. And I've taken the real estate business and grown that. So it's come from the fact that of Greek immigrants and descent that my great grandparents came over here, or actually grandparents came over here from Greece at a very young age, had to make it work, and maybe that entrepreneurial spirit has come through our family line. I went to St. Paul's School of Bald Hills, a good school, all boys school, Anglican school. One thing that the school taught me is about mateship. I love school for that. I've still got a close group of friends. There'd be 15 or 20 of us that get together every year. People fly in from all over the world and we're fairly close mates, which is great. But that's what I loved about school, to be honest, is the ability to relate to other humans and have close mateship.
Through some work experience, Coronis learned an invaluable life lesson.
Now, I started at Coles supermarkets when I was 14 years old. And that taught me, they used to give a little yellow pay packet out then. I think I was on $6.45 an hour or something like that. But it taught me the value of money, because I think with Thursday night and Saturday morning, I got a little yellow pay packet with 30 something dollars in it, and I had to budget on that. So it was really good for me to put some away, and Dad was instrumental in that, showing me how to put some away and spend some so that you feel good about your earnings and also creating a nest egg. And that was excellent for me those early years. And I enjoyed it too. It was fun, you know, with peers and working Thursday night and Saturday morning. And then, in fact, I've just encouraged, you know, my daughter's just turned 15 now, and she's got a lot of commitments with her sport and her academic, but she's found time to put a job in there as well, because I do believe an early job is a great way of giving people an understanding for, you know, what to do when they actually start earning money. And they can't, you can help guide them at that stage with their savings, which then gives them lifelong habits. After school, I went to and repeated year 12 because I didn't have a university entrance score called a TE score. Back then, for the old listeners, they'll understand what that is. And mine wasn't that great, so I wanted to do, which is kind of funny because I'm not very good at spelling and I hated reading, but I wanted to do journalism of all things. Which is really unusual. But I went back and did night school, and I worked at Expo 88 in Brisbane back then, in a pub.
From there, he attended a game-changing conference with his father and became inspired to venture into real estate.
And I think, you know, in life there are certain things that fate delivers you at the right time when you're ready, but Dad was a franchise of a Richardson Ranch, which is a, you know, real estate franchise. And there was a conference in Singapore because it had just been bought by some Singaporeans. And back in about 1988, I think it was, I finished school, didn't know what I was doing. He bought me a ticket to go to the conference. We went as a family, and he was doing the conference part of it. But what it enabled me to do was one session, I went and sat in one of the real estate speakers, and for the life of me, I can't remember who it was. I wish I did know who it was. And they inspired me, and I can't give them credit for it. But they talked about what we're talking about today: mindset and goals and growth, and, you know, your thoughts lead you to where you're going. And they're all new things that I've never heard before. So it was quite inspiring for me. And I obviously had a value set inside me that was what it made me to adhere to those values. So I loved it, and Dad saw me getting passionate about it, and he said, "Do you want to get into real estate?" And I said, "Yeah, why not? I've got nothing else to do," which is probably the way most people get into real estate, to be honest. I got into real estate. I didn't have a car even at that stage, so I was borrowing my mum's car to drive people around houses. Gives you an idea of what it was like. And we had a fairly modest real estate office and offering, it was very mediocre. And I'm not being disrespectful to my dad. I'm sure he'll say the same thing. But, you know, we muddled along till about 1995 in what you call a standard real estate office.
So, what changed for Coronis that went from mediocre to extremely well known in the industry?
In 1995, I remember the conversation between my now sales director, Craig Gillies, who's a shareholder in the business, and Dad and myself. We looked at each other and said, "You know, real estate sucks. You can't make any money out of it, and we're not helping enough people, and we can't get to where we're going." So we decided there and then to give it our all. And that was a really decisive moment for me, to be honest, because, you know, when you are honest with yourself, in my opinion, and you look in the mirror and you can tell yourself you're actually giving it all, I guarantee you, you'll be successful at whatever vocation you want to do. I think most people sit on the sideline and they, you know, to use a cricketing analogy, which I use a bit, They don't bend their back when they're bowling. They just roll the arm over. And in my opinion, when they roll the arm over, you get average because that's all you're doing. And also, in my opinion, it doesn't actually take much more to be excellent at something by bending your back and giving it your all. So, you know, 1995, 96, around that time was a very decisive point where we actually decided for 2 years. And, but we took a pretty modest real estate agency from being mediocre to being very good within 2 years. It was a very solid agency in those 2 years. But look, we decided to work 7 days a week. We decided to work from 8 o'clock till 7 o'clock at night. And we decided to give it all. Was it hard? Most definitely. Was it rewarding? Absolutely. But has it paid dividends now? Yeah, unbelievable. So, you know, it was something that was a really big deal to actually firstly make the decision to be excellent at something and secondly to do whatever it takes time-wise, because when you, you know, if you've got to pay, I do believe you've got to pay the price at some stage in your life. And you can either pay the price being mediocre all your life, or you can work really hard for 2 to 3 years and become excellent at something and make it easier later on. And that's a choice people have.
Although Coronis and his father were very close, he didn't want to follow in his footsteps. He wanted to aim higher.
Dad and I were always very close, and we had a very good relationship with this guy. The idea of working with my dad was really cool, to be honest. Not many people get to say they work with their dad and enjoy and help build something with their dad, which is really inspiring. But you know, when it came down to it, I didn't want to follow my dad. I love my dad dearly and I follow his values anywhere, but I didn't want to be like my dad with regard to the way that real estate agency was run back then, because it was a hard slog for him. You know, I remember him, you know, having bills and which one do you pay and which one do you don't. You've got three kids at private school. You've got a house, again, a fairly modest house, but a beautiful family home, if that makes sense. But so I didn't want to, I wanted more out of life than that, if that made sense. So when I went overseas to that conference I was talking about, and I heard people talking about, hey, listen, if you actually put the effort in and you start believing in yourself, which I always had done, I always had a self-confidence, which was great, which my parents gave me, which enabled me to fly. And I think there's as a person, that self-confidence was then brought to the fore when I heard somebody talking about, well, if you have got self-confidence and you do believe in yourself, drive yourself to your own thoughts of where you want to go and write some goals down. And I think that conference was that decisive moment that made me go, wow, okay. And real estate's an opportunity and a vehicle. And that's what I'd say. You know, real estate is a vehicle to help you get to where you want to go. I love it as a vehicle, and this business has been great for me by helping people with one of their biggest assets in their life when they're very emotional and very stressed. So you, in my opinion, you've got a very noble purpose by helping people, and you can do well for yourself as well as a byproduct of that. So that was actually outlined to me that you know, property sales give those two things, and that's when I took on with it.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve into Coronis' property investing journey on his first venture into property investing.
I remember Mum always saying, imagine if we owned all those 40 properties, that's what we did every weekend. And they were, in times, it made me think about it a lot. And Dad would say, don't be silly, you can't afford those properties.
How he learnt from his worst investing moment.
No, very flash, they're beautiful, there's no doubt about it. But when the market turns the other way, top-end flash stuff, which is discretionary spend, really cops it.
And that's next. I'm Tarun Sharp, and you're listening to Property Investory. Western Australia is tipped to be the next property hotspot. If you're looking to invest and build in WA, take advantage of the affordable land market and record build times with Plunkett Homes. Visit propertyinvestory.com/build to find out why they're WA's most established home builder. With over 150 years of experience, Plunkett Homes helps you develop turnkey homes across WA. To get your fixed price demolition or site works and to maximise profits and minimise time, visit propertyinvestory.com/build. And now back to the show. Coronis began building his portfolio from a young age when an opportunity was presented to him via his real estate job.
When I first started, I remember many years because with an old rent roll when Dad had 40 properties managed in that office I spoke about originally. I remember Mum, because back then everyone paid in cash on a Saturday morning, basically. You know, you walked down to the real estate office and pay your rent, in cash. And I remember Dad had to bring the cash home because you didn't want to leave the cash in the office somewhere. There was, reasons, are you? And we're talking, 1988 or so, and he had a wad of cash most Saturdays on him, not his money, the trust money, that he was bringing home to make sure that it was safe until Monday to put in the bank. And I remember Mum always saying, imagine if we owned all those 40 properties, that's what we did every weekend. And they were, in times, it made me think about it a lot. And Dad would say, don't be silly, you can't afford those properties. But what had happened was, property obviously is in my blood. And then an opportunity came up when I was 18 years old. There was a young couple who came into the office one Saturday afternoon. This is where I do believe in karma. They came into the office one Saturday afternoon. They're buying a house close to the Stafford office. And they said, can you do a contract for me? I said, yeah, no problem. I was into helping anybody I can. I always have been, to be honest. I don't mind helping anybody at any stage, no matter if I can get something out of it or not. And that's a big thing for everybody in life, I believe. And I said, yeah, no problem. And I said, yeah, we're buying this house off this lady here, and we need someone to do a contract. How much are you going to do? Will you charge us? I said, no problem at all. Happy to do the contract. You're nice people. She's a nice lady. You're all happy. You're doing a deal. Yep. And it was for a house at Moree Street at Kedron. And it's interesting. They couldn't get their finance. So the lady came back into the office because I'd helped them out for free and said, do you want to sell my house? And I said, yeah. And I looked at it, and it was a very cheap house, funnily enough. It was a one-bedroom, fibro house on 400 square metres, which at Kedron no one wanted to buy because it had white edge to it, it was fibro, it had one bedroom, had all these wrong things with it, to be honest. Anyway, it was because it was like that. It was, it was probably one of the cheaper houses around. It was, at that stage, most of the houses that were better weatherboard houses on bigger blocks of land were selling for $60,000, and this one was $55,000 if she'd agree with the people. And you've got to think, $5,000 doesn't sound like a lot of money, but it's nearly 10% of the value of the house, so it was considerably cheaper. Anyway, she said, yeah, I want to sell it. And I said, oh, would you sell it to me? She said, yeah, I don't mind. It's $55,000 is what I want. I've had it on the market with another agency and they didn't sell it. And because of all the problems I said before, I said, well, I'll buy it. And she said, fine. So Dad lent me $7,000, which was nice of him, that I had to pay back at $100 a week out of my wages and commissions out of the real estate office. And I bought a house at Moree Street, getting $55,000. I got the first home buyer's grant and I moved into it for the first 6 months.
Since his initial venture into property investing, he hasn't looked back, continuing to invest as his first property grew in value and he undertook various other projects.
It was a great house, and over a period of time, I got equity in that house, and then I went and bought another one. And then a mate of mine said, do you want to do some townhouse developments? And I did some townhouse developments, then I bought another house. And I just kept reinvesting into the property, which is really into the property market. And the old, my grandfather said to me, one thing about property, just don't sell. that little house went up from $55,000. And it's so hard to imagine, isn't it? So I went from $55,000 in 1988. I moved into it in the end and did a bit of work to it, which was a waste of time because I knocked it down in the end and built something else. But it went from 55 to 255. Now, that's five times the money, and I think it was 2002 or 2003, which is not that long when you think about it. And it's hard for people to get their heads around how values can climb. I mean, Sydney and Melbourne markets have been doing well. Brisbane's been fairly flat and it's had a little bit of growth in the last 18 years, but not much at all. We're probably back to where we were, just a little bit above, which I think, here's my plug for Brisbane. I think it's in southeast Queensland. It's ready to go. It's got incredible affordability. It hasn't had any growth for 8 to 10 years, and markets don't sit dormant for that long. I remember all through the 90s, and this is interesting for the listeners, all through the 90s when I had that house in Moree Street, it went from 55 to maybe 60 to maybe 65, maybe even up to 67, 70 grand. But by year 2000, it was still worth about $70,000. And I remember just going, this real estate sucks. Seriously, it's not going up. It hasn't gone anywhere. And by 2003 is when the rush came, so to speak, and it went from about 70 to 250, and I was going, geez, real estate's really good, isn't it? I'm a genius, yeah.
From this, Coronis has learned to trust that the property will increase in value over time and how to avoid issues in this way.
The lesson to be learned there is just don't sell. You know, just have faith in the fact that it will go up. You know, if something's at 500, it will be worth a million at some stage. Now, when that some stage is, nobody's good enough at picking, but it will be worth that much money. And if it's 1 million, it'll be worth 2 million at some stage. So, you know, the only reason people, I believe, get into problems with property is they gear themselves too highly. And if interest rates go up or they lose their job, they have to sell. If you don't have to crystallise and you hang on, you will make money out of property. That's what's happened over history. Yeah. So, yeah, bought houses, did some townhouse developments, got heavily involved in growing the business from 2000 onwards. So I stopped doing that because I just need to focus on one thing. And now, generally, I've got commercial properties. And look, the other thing too, a lot of those houses that I bought, I got into partnerships with people. I enjoy partnerships. I think they're fun. I've never had any problems with partners. I always put my heart and soul into it, and I've always picked the right partners who are prepared to do the same thing. And yeah, for young people trying to get into the market, I just did a first homeowners night for, we've got 330 people that work with us here. And young people are trying to get into the market. I worked out that you can buy a house in Brisbane at the moment. So Northside Brisbane, a good suburb, which is called West Chermside, is about 10 kilometres north of the town, near a big Westfield, near a big hospital, great infrastructure, good area. And you can buy that in Brisbane now. There was just one sold for about $530,000 on 600 square metres. And I worked out for the young guys here that currently on a 97% land, which you can get, with a locked-in interest rate at 3.99%, which was from ME Bank. I think, I don't know if that's still the case. This is 2 or 3 weeks ago we had this talk. There'll be somewhere around that figure. If you put $7,500 in with a partner each, it's going to cost about $300-something a week to start paying that house off. And I just go, the affordability in Brisbane is unbelievable at the moment. Unbelievable at the moment. So they're the type of things, and a lot of people say, I can't afford it. Well, you know, you've got, as I said to everybody, it's not my responsibility, your parents' responsibility to find a way. It's your responsibility to find a way and get into the property market because you're going to see growth in it. So that's the other thing. I did a lot with partners because it makes it easier.
There was a time when the market took a turn for the worst and Coronis discovered an important lesson.
A very wise man said to me, if you build or you buy for the mass market, you'll always do well. And if you build and buy for the top end of the market, you can often burn your dough. And I learned a really good lesson, and I built some townhouses with my brother-in-law at Noosa, which is a top-end market, and they were very flash. They were beautiful. There's no doubt about it. But when the market turns the other way, top-end flash stuff, which is discretionary spend, really cops it. So I learned a really good lesson. If you're building townhouses and you're building units, you've got to pick your market and your timing well, or you've got to build something that it becomes a housing stock rather than a holiday house stock, if that makes sense. When GFC came, Noosa took an absolute dive, like most discretionary spend markets, and you know, we dusted a lot of money on that project. And it taught me a really valuable lesson to stay to my truths, which is if you build for the mass market, generally someone's going to live in it at some stage because houses are something that we all live in, no matter what. And if you build for the top end, they're the people that go up and down like a yo-yo. When things are good, they go well. When they're not going well, you'll pay the price for it.
And the reason for investing in this development?
Probably ego. There you go. Yeah, you become indestructible and you think you can do everything. Looking back on it, there's no real reason. My brother-in-law built 4 or 5 sets of townhouses up there and it picked the market a lot better and done really well. And he said, you want to be in this one? I said, yeah, no problem. That'd be really good. But it was against the fundamentals. Here you go. It was against my fundamentals. And you've got to have some values that you own yourself and you should be true to those values. Because in a lot of cases, every time you go against those values, you'll dust yourself.
On coming across a particular property, Coronis acted on a gut feeling which paid off immeasurably, where it felt just right.
There was a commercial property that I bought it was vacant, and I took a risk on that, but I just had a gut feeling of, again, the fundamentals, where it was in a good shopping precinct, close to a railway line and a high visual location. And I bought it vacant, and obviously there's more risk if close associated with it being vacant. and a tenant came in and paid a lot more than what I thought they wanted, because it was a perfect perfect position for them, and increased the value incredibly, which I still own today. And it was a matter of taking a calculated risk, but based on those fundamentals of, is it in a great location? Is it highly visible? Has it got other development around it? And the due diligence I do now is based on that. It must be in a growth corridor for property that I buy. It must have a current income that is positively geared, or about positively geared, which is easier to do in commercial property, harder to do in residential, I must add. But also must be a development site, so I get development uplift at some particular point in time. If I can tick those three boxes, I buy it no matter what. And if it doesn't, I don't do it.
You found this property by chance and at a time when it was becoming increasingly challenging to purchase property.
I drove past and saw a sign on it and thought, wow, what a really good position. It's for sale. I can't believe it. Yeah. So, you know, it's a Warren Buffett line, the old line that, you know, you should be greedy when others are cautious and cautious when others are greedy. And at the time, it was hard to sell property. There was one property that I missed out on, unfortunately, that was bought in the multi-million dollars, like, and this gives you an idea, throughout the GFC. I think it was bought in about 2010, where property, commercial property, was very hard to sell. And if you had, you know, cash or the ability to borrow money, then you did very, very well. And there was a guy who bought in 2010 when nobody else wanted a certain asset, and he bought it well. And he I couldn't get the figure he bought it for, but he bought it for about $6 million and sold it for 24 or 5 years later because the market had changed. So, you know, that is a real story in Brisbane property prices. And good luck to him. He had the ability and took the risk at the time that, you know, the fundamentals were this is a property that was being offered at $8 to $10 million before. And, you know, when the fundamentals, I believe the fundamentals can swing over the top and too high, and they can swing the other way over the top too low. And the sheep race to each end all the time and believe that's the way it's going to be. You know, properties don't go up all the time every year. Can I make that on record? But over a longer term horizon, they will go up. Well, history has told us that, if that makes sense, yeah? So the fact is, if you're buying in a down market with the fundamentals that are right, you'll probably get a bigger capital upside than you will in a market that's going really well.
So, inspired by Coronis' property investing journey, we'll continue the conversation with him in a future episode on Property Investory. We'll discuss the strategy behind his success.
My style is buying and holding and waiting for the capital appreciation and then borrowing on those properties again and using the equity to go and do it again.
The personal habits which have contributed to his property investing journey.
I look at life like a customer, and I try to make sure that I can make it as simple as possible to do business with us.
And that's next time in a future episode of Property Investory. Also, if you haven't subscribed to receive your free property case studies that I only send out exclusively via email, you can text me your email address to 0499881040 to subscribe. These real case studies are from experienced property investors where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, the strategies, and much more. Simply text me your email address to 0499881040 to get your free case studies. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.